Good morning, everybody. This is Jonathan Cook, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Genevieve Conklin-Gabrielle, and we will discuss ADM. Good morning, Genevieve.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Cook.
Good morning. So, let's start with the definition of ADM. How do you define it?
Okay, so ADEM, ADEM, or as the expanded version, acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, actually from how the disease is called itself, you can actually glean the definition of the disease from there itself. So it's a demyelinating disease, demyelinating condition, and it typically presents as a one-hit or monophasic disorder, but there will usually be multifocal neurologic symptoms, and as is implied in the definition, there is encephalopathy along with the clinical presentation.
So what is the clinical presentation, the typical clinical presentation?
There is no one typical clinical presentation because of the nature of the disease, it is usually multifocal neurologic deficits. So the neurologic deficits can be anything. You can have brainstem findings, you can have spinal cord findings. It can really be anything in terms of focal deficits. But the one thing that has to be there by definition is the encephalopathy.
And the pathology of ADM, demyelination, I guess?
So in terms of pathology or histopathology, what you actually see is sheets of demyelination around the vessels. So it's called perivenous demyelination. This is in contrast to what you may see in multiple sclerosis, which is one of the important differentials of this condition, where in MS you would see more confluent areas or larger areas of demyelination.
And I think that there are some typical findings on MRI, which is probably one of the most significant metrics for diagnosis.
Right. So since it's a demyelinating disorder, then we would see hyper-intense signal on T2 flare in the white matter. The typical areas that you would also see them is in the thalamus, basal ganglia, brainstem, cerebellum, and in some of them you can also have it in the spinal cord. We tend to administer contrast to get some more information, but the enhancement pattern is variable, so there's no one characteristic pattern of enhancement that you would see.
And are there any spinal fluid findings that you may lean towards the diagnosis versus others?
So there is no specific or characteristic CSF profile in this condition. However, you may see some cells, so you may see some pleocytosis, and you may also see elevated protein, but we don't have to have this in the CSF. You can also send for oligoclonal bands, and typically it is absent, as opposed to other demyelinating conditions where it's more likely to be present. And actually, in certain cases, sometimes, rarely, it can be present, but this tends not to persist. Like if you repeat the CSF again, oligoclonal bands are not there anymore. And if you see that they are persisting, you actually should shift your thinking and think that it's another demyelinating condition, such as multiple sclerosis.
Which in most cases with positive oligoclonal bands would persist.
Would persist, yes.
How about antibodies? Are there any specific antibodies that you would look for?
Right now, there is no marker. There's no biologic marker that we can search for. It's not like in NMO, for example, that we know specifically what antibody is there and we can test for it. In ADEM, that's not the case. Of course, people have been trying to search for such a biologic marker, and so far they've found that in about 40% of cases there is this anti-MOG or the myelin oligodendrocyte glycoprotein antibody that's been found in case series. Unfortunately, it's not been found to be specific to ADEM. So right now we still cannot use it even as a supportive thing for the diagnosis, we cannot use it as such because it's not even specific to radon.
And this would be in the spinal fluid?
Serum also will help.
So what would be the treatment of the patient that you diagnosed with radon?
So in terms of treatment, we are not going to have a whole lot of data in terms of what is the best treatment based on randomized controlled studies, because this condition is, the incidence is not very high, so it would be very difficult to recruit that many patients. But so far, what has been done is that first line would be steroids, second line would be IVIG, and then third line would be either repeat course of steroids or plasmapheresis. Also, the other thing that it is not clear is that what is the actual natural history? How do these patients do when they go untreated? There's also not a lot of data on that in terms of published data. So it's very difficult right now to say what is the best treatment, but so far this is what the experts have been recommending.
So what would be the typical course prognosis of a patient? I take it that we haven't mentioned it, but in many cases it would be after a viral illness or vaccination or some immunologic.
Right. So it is up to 60 to 70% of patients when you go and take their history. You may actually find that there was a preceding viral prodrome, either that or a preceding vaccination. The vaccination is not as high as about 19% or so. Studies vary somewhere from 5 to 19%. That's one of the major theories that is being said as the triggering factor, this viral infection causing some sort of activation in the immune system and having this outcome. But it shouldn't fool us, because sometimes other demyelinating conditions, you may also find this kind of story of a viral prodrome. So it shouldn't just steer you in this one direction if you do find that in the history.
So then there is the viral or vaccination event, and then I guess there is some time, and then the actual neurologic features, and then we do the MRI and VIP, and we diagnose it. We think it's radon, which we put steroids and IVIG or IVIG. Then what should we expect?
So we should expect improvement. Sometimes it's not as quick as we would hope, but there usually is, you know, considerable improvement, and up to 70 to 80%, you know, go back pretty much to their baseline. And if it was truly ADEM, then most commonly it is really just that monophasic thing, and it will never have any second hit of demyelination. So it's important for these patients to get a repeat scan and see that the lesions are improving, and even that the lesions go away at some point. So that's one of the difficulties with ADEM, because things are changing in terms of definitions. There used to be recurrent multiphasic ADEM. Now, the most recent definition in 2012, they removed the recurrent ADEM. That was the one change. And in the multiphasic, they said that the patient can have up to two of these demyelinating episodes with encephalopathy. But when it comes to a third episode, then think of a chronic demyelinating disorder. This is the most recent change with this definition.
So that actually brings us to what's the differential diagnosis? I think we mentioned a few times other demyelinating disorders like MS. So what is the differential diagnosis here?
So under that category of demyelinating conditions, if it's important to distinguish if it's MS or some other demyelinating condition like NMO, because the treatment would be very different. If it is a chronic disorder, then you would have to treat them with an agent that is disease modifying, that will try to control their disease burden and try to prevent further attacks of demyelination, which is not the case in ADEM. In ADEM, you do a one-time treatment, and, you know, if it is truly ADEM, it's not going to come back. So that's why it's crucially important to make this diagnosis correctly, because if that person that came in with the first episode of demyelination and you mistakenly diagnose them as ADEM when they were in fact a chronic demyelinating disorder, and you did not put them on the chronic treatment, then you would have missed that time that they should have been already started on chronic treatment.
Great. So what would be your take-home messages or things that you would like to emphasize?
Biggest take-home that I would like to emphasize in this talk is that when you're making the diagnosis, patient coming in with the first episode of demyelination, then your differential should be these things, ADEM or chronic demyelinating disorder, such as MS. Look into the history very carefully and look at the scans very carefully, because they've actually come up with certain criteria that have been validated in studies that can point you towards making a diagnosis of a chronic demyelinating disorder, even with their first attack of demyelination. So these are the things that we should, you know, carefully look at. That way we make the diagnosis correctly.
Fantastic. That's great. So again, thank you, Dr. Genevieve Conklin, Gabrielle, which I didn't mention is currently our pediatric chief resident. Let's see. So we're very fortunate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Perk. It was my pleasure.